Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Soybean futures have been rallying on strength in soybean oil as it pulled the broader oilseed complex higher, signaling that energy and biofuel expectations, not a traditional supply and demand factor, have been the primary driver. Now, the move confirmed by parallel gains in canola, which reinforces that the rally was oil-led rather than soybean-specific. Advance followed weeks of heavy bearish positioning in soybean oil tied to uncertainty around the renewable fuels policy. And while no new federal announcements have been made, markets did appear to back away from worst-case assumptions on biofuel demand, which prompted short covering and renewed buying interest in vegetable oil markets. Soybean oil stocks remain historically tight. Renewable diesel capacity continues to expand. It's keeping long-term demand expectations intact. Stable crude oil prices also supporting the move, preventing margin pressure from intensifying across the biofuel sector. And canola strength, adding confidence that global vegetable oil balances are tightening, not just U.S. policy sentiment. Meal markets have been lagging. That underscores that the rally not tied to feed demand or export sales. So whether this rally holds really depends on continued strength in the global vegetable oil markets and clear policy direction in the coming weeks. Rural America adding population from 2023 through 2024, marking continued recovery from the pandemic-era downturn, signaling renewed economic stability across non-metro regions. Now, a new Rural America at a Glance report from USDA's Economic Research Service shows positive net migration driving growth, in particular in recreation-dependent counties, while key indicators like employment and poverty have largely returned to their pre-pandemic levels. Economic Research Service analysis finds non-metro employment rebounding to 2019 levels by the year 2024 and poverty rates returning to their pre-COVID conditions in 2023. Now, real median household income increasing recently, though gains remain more modest than those seen during the economic expansion prior to 2020. Financial indicators also improving. Counties with low debt-to-income ratios outnumbered high counties in 2024, in particular across the Great Plains, suggesting greater balance sheet resilience in many rural areas. Brazil's expanding crop production continues to reshape global markets, raising competitive pressure for U.S. producers as the Southern Hemisphere growing season moves forward. William Maples is an extension economist. Mississippi State says early indicators from Brazil suggest another year of heavy export competition for soybeans, corn, and cotton. And the takeaway, large Brazilian crops are heightening the downside price risk if weather allows production to reach projected levels. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The multilateral institutions on which the middle powers have relied, the WTO, the UN, the COP, the architecture, the very architecture of collective problem solving are under threat.
A very pointed message to the United States by Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney at the World Economic Forum.
And as a result, many countries are drawing the same conclusions, that they must develop greater strategic autonomy in energy, food, critical minerals, in finance and supply chains. And this impulse is understandable. A country that can't feed itself, fuel itself, or defend itself has few options. When the rules no longer protect you, you must protect yourself. But let's be clear-eyed about where this leads. A world of fortresses will be poorer, more fragile, and less sustainable. If great powers abandon even the pretense of rules and values for the unhindered pursuit of their power and interests, the gains from transactionalism will become harder to replicate. Hegemons cannot continually monetize their relationships. Allies will diversify to hedge against uncertainty. They'll buy insurance, increase options, in order to rebuild sovereignty. Sovereignty that was once grounded in rules but will increasingly be anchored in the ability to withstand pressure. This room knows this is classic risk management. Risk management comes at a price. But that cost of strategic autonomy, of sovereignty, can also be shared. Collective investments in resilience are cheaper than everyone building their own fortresses. Shared standards reduce fragmentations. Complementarities are positive sum. And the question for middle powers like Canada is not whether to adapt to the new reality. We must. The question is whether we adapt by simply building higher walls or whether we can do something more ambitious. Now, Canada was amongst the first to hear the wake-up call, leading us to fundamentally shift our strategic posture. Canadians know that our old comfortable assumptions that our geography and alliance memberships automatically conferred prosperity and security, that assumption is no longer valid. And our new approach rests on what Alexander Stubb, the president of Finland, has termed value-based realism. Or to put another way, we aim to be both principled and pragmatic. Principled in our commitment to fundamental values, sovereignty, territorial integrity, the prohibition of the use of force except when consistent with the UN Charter, and respect for human rights. And pragmatic in recognizing that progress is often incremental, that interests diverge, that not every partner will share all of our values. So we're engaging broadly, strategically, with open eyes. We actively take on the world as it is, not wait around for a world we wish to be. We are calibrating our relationships so their depth reflects our values. And we're prioritizing broad engagement to maximize our influence. Given the fluidity of the world at the moment, the risks that this poses, and the stakes for what comes next. And we are no longer just relying on the strength of our values, but also the value of our strength. This is not naive multilateralism, nor is it relying on their institutions. It's building coalitions that work, issues by issue, with partners who share enough common ground to act together. In some cases, this will be the vast majority of nations. What it's doing is creating a dense web of connections across trade, investment, culture, on which we can draw for future challenges and opportunities. I argue the middle powers must act together because if we're not at the table, we're on the menu.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
They're the biggest buyer and they're the biggest producer here.
Talking canola and China. Craig Turner, Senior Risk Management Consultant with StoneX.
It is a big deal, not just for the ag industry in Canada, but there's also global trade flows that it affects, whether it be through Australia, the European Union. So I think it also can, when you take a look at canola, it's a low acid, product compared to, the regular rapeseed coming out of Europe. It's kind of the highest, really the highest quality of all the vegetable oils and also the vegetable. It's also for meal. I mean, it is in terms of the crush, canola meal is going to be probably the preferred meal from dairy operations. So when you disrupt this kind of trade flow where you don't have the high quality canola maybe coming either out of Canada or into China, or even you're taking it and dislocating it in the crush process, it has a lot of things that go downstream, whether it be canola meal for dairy or the industrial side, and specifically to the renewable biodiesel side also. So by the changing the trade flows, it has a lot of a ripple effect in the global economy too.
So what do we need to keep an eye on? What do we need to be watching for?
What is interesting here is, in the past, when there's been trade issues, let's say between the United States and China, it took a year, almost 2 years to figure out. This one between Canada and China got figured out very fast in negotiations, which, if China then does start to ramp up canola purchases, not just because they need the canola, but to strengthen their economic ties over with Canada, kind of put a wedge in between Canada and the United States. You could see, the prices increase pretty fast. Now canola has 4 million metric tons. If you take a look at the balance sheet, there's about a 4 million metric ton surplus in the canola balance sheet, which is big. That is a bearish number. The thing is, China could wipe away that 4 million metric ton, surplus in one marketing year if they went back to buying 6 million metric tons. So right now while canola has been trading in the high 500s per ton, so let's say mid 600s to maybe 700 per ton Canadian, if all of a sudden China becomes a very active buyer and the biggest buyer in there, it certainly, can cause, the canola to go up. And another thing too with canola, it's very difficult to replace, right? Because it is the feed of choice in the dairy market, and it is going to be the highest quality of oil out there. That's going to, the canola oil. You can't, it's the same thing with wheat. You can't blend up. You can only blend down. The same thing in that oil and meal market. So if I am a buyer of canola, canola meal, canola oil, you really do need to, with these prices at the lower end of the spectrum over the past 4 or 5 years, it makes a lot of sense whether you're going to use collars, whether you're going to, use, the futures markets, protective calls. But, it looks like to us, the downside is limited. The lows are probably, last year's lows were in the mid to high 500s per ton. We're in the low to mid 600s. If you take a look at the highs over the past 4 or 5 years, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 per ton. So if that is the greatest of the trading ranges, 550 to 1,200, and we're sitting here at 650, it makes sense. You'd want to be more hedged than not going into this marketing year.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
It seems that every day we're reminded that we live in an era of great power rivalry, that the rules-based order is fading, that the strong can do what they can and the weak must suffer what they must.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney speaking in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum.
And this aphorism of Thucydides is presented as inevitable, as the natural logic of international relations reasserting itself. And faced with this logic, there is a strong tendency for countries to go along to get along, to accommodate, to avoid trouble, to hope that compliance will buy safety. Well, it won't. So what are our options? In 1978, the Czech dissident Václav Havel, later president, wrote an essay called The Power of the Powerless. And in it, he asked a simple question: how did the communist system sustain itself? And his answer began with a greengrocer. Every morning, this shopkeeper places a sign in his window: workers of the world unite. He doesn't believe it. No one does. But he places the sign anyway to avoid trouble, to signal compliance, to get along. And because every shopkeeper on every street does the same, the system persists. Not through violence alone, but through the participation of ordinary people in rituals they privately know to be false. Havel called this living within a lie. The system's power comes not from its truth, but from everyone's willingness to perform as if it were true. And its fragility comes from the same source. When even one person stops performing, when the greengrocer removes his sign, the illusion begins to crack. Friends, it is time for companies and countries to take their signs down. Four decades. For decades, countries like Canada prospered under what we call the rules-based international order. We joined its institutions, we praised its principles, we benefited from its predictability. And because of that, we could pursue values-based foreign policies under its protection. We knew the story of the international rules-based order was partially false, that the strongest would exempt themselves when convenient, that trade rules were enforced asymmetrically. And we knew that international law applied with varying rigor depending on the identity of the accused or the victim. This fiction was useful. And American hegemony in particular helped provide public goods, open sea lanes, a stable financial system, collective security, and support for frameworks for resolving disputes. So we placed the sign in the window. We participated in the rituals. And we largely avoided calling out the gaps between rhetoric and reality. This bargain no longer works. Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition. Over the past two decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration. But more recently, great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons. Tariffs as leverage, financial infrastructure as coercion, supply chains as vulnerabilities to be exploited. You cannot live within the lie of mutual benefit through integration when integration becomes the source of your subordination.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
I believe that the mass deportation strategy by this administration and the chaotic nature in which they've implemented these tariffs are a 1-2 punch to American agriculture.
California Representative Jim Costa is a member of the House Ag Committee.
As we know, food is a national security issue. And that partnership that I noted a bit ago between farm workers and between farmers is a critical partnership, because that's how food gets, you know, on America's dinner table. It gets to the grocery store. And we have a lot of families that in the San Joaquin Valley, I'm sure New Mexico and elsewhere, where they live in what I say mixed households. What do I mean by that? You may have 5 or 6 people in a household and 2 or 3 have legal status and 2 or 3 don't. But the fear of not only going to your job, the fear of going to school, the fear of going shopping permeates the communities throughout the San Joaquin Valley, and I know throughout the country. And you know, American agriculture should not be exposed in that way to this whims of an administration that really doesn't have an agriculture policy that I can understand. Reforming the USCA, the Department of Agriculture. We've not had one hearing, and the Secretary of Agriculture has not one time come that I'm aware of in the last year to testify before the House Ag Committee and explain the justification for this reorganization. And important services with farm FSA offices that are not being manned, it makes no sense.
So where is the House Ag Committee and a new farm bill? Well, ranking member from Minnesota, Angie Craig.
Look, we should be, this Congress, negotiating a 5-year 12 title farm bill. We should not have $68 billion for farm programs in the One Big Beautiful Bill, a 1-year CR to extend the farm bill. But at the end of the day, where negotiations stand is we have been in very close conversation. We're expecting, from a committee perspective, to start to see text, we hope, title by title. But I continue to warn my Republican colleagues and my chairman that there are some very strong, what I would call poison pills, that they are still discussing. And I've been clear that it will be very difficult to get widespread Democratic support. And frankly, their own members are going to come under tremendous pressure from the Make America Healthy Again movement if preemption for pesticides is included in their farm bill. So it remains to be seen whether or not they heed our advice and put forward a clean farm bill program. We know rural development needs to be addressed. We know farm credit needs to be addressed. But I continue to warn my colleagues that a bipartisan farm bill means it's not full of a bunch of poison pills that will cause a lot of Democrats to vote against it. We expect, and GT is the ultimate optimist, so those of you who know him, I know him well now. He's indicating a markup the last week of February, I believe. Now there's some attendance issues on the Ag Committee with some, you know, the unfortunate death of Mr. LaMalfa as well as Mr. Baird's health. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I would expect late February, early March. But I wouldn't be surprised if the optimist timeline moves again either.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
If we're not at the table, we're on the menu.
Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney.
But I'd also say that great powers can afford for now to go it alone. They have the market size, the military capacity, and the leverage to dictate terms. Middle powers do not. But when we only negotiate bilaterally with a hegemon, we negotiate from weakness. We accept what's offered. We compete with each other to be the most accommodating. This is not sovereignty. It's the performance of sovereignty while accepting subordination. In a world of great power rivalry, the countries in between have a choice. Compete with each other for favor or to combine to create a third path with impact. We shouldn't allow the rise of hard power to blind us to the fact that the power of legitimacy, integrity, and rules will remain strong if we choose to wield them together. Which brings me back to Havel. What does it mean for middle powers to live the truth? First, it means naming reality. Stop invoking rules-based international order as though it still functions as advertised. Call it what it is. A system of intensifying great power rivalry where the most powerful pursue their interests using economic integration as coercion. It means acting consistently, applying the same standards to allies and rivals. When middle powers criticize economic intimidation from one direction but stay silent when it comes from another, we are keeping the sign in the window. It means building what we claim to believe in. Rather than waiting for the old order to be restored, it means creating institutions and agreements that function as described. And it means reducing the leverage that enables coercion. That's building a strong domestic economy. It should be every government's immediate priority. And diversification internationally is not just economic prudence. It's a material foundation for honest foreign policy, because countries earn the right to principled stands by reducing their vulnerability to retaliation. So Canada. Canada has what the world wants. We are an energy superpower. We hold vast reserves of critical minerals. We have the most educated population in the world. Our pension funds are amongst the world's largest and most sophisticated investors. In other words, we have capital, talent. We also have a government with immense fiscal capacity to act decisively. And we have the values to which many others aspire. Canada is a pluralistic society that works. Our public square is loud, diverse, and free. Canadians remain committed to sustainability. We are a stable and reliable partner in a world that is anything but. A partner that builds and values relationships for the long term. And we have something else. We have a recognition of what's happening and a determination to act accordingly. We understand that this rupture calls for more than adaptation. It calls for honesty about the world as it is. We are taking the sign out of the window. We know the old order is not coming back. We shouldn't mourn it. Nostalgia is not a strategy. But we believe that from the fracture, we can build something bigger, better, stronger, more just. This is the task of the middle powers. The countries that have the most to lose from a world of fortresses and a most to gain from genuine cooperation.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.